This is my time. I'm on the rise. Can't hold me down. I'm too fly. This is my time.
It's time for Scrap Guy Solutions with your host, Jeremy Miller. Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Scrap Guy Solutions podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Miller, and I want to thank you for listening. There are so many different podcast options out there, and we appreciate you tuning in to the Scrap Guy Solutions podcast for this episode, which is an awesome one. When Brandon Osborne from the Average Dad Cooking Channel reached out to me back in August asking if he could be on the podcast, I started following his channel on Facebook, and let's just say I was impressed. Brandon is a regular guy who's doing what it takes to make things happen. He has three young kids. He works full-time. He exercises regularly. He cooks a lot and creates content that he shares on his Average Dad Cooking Channel social media pages. It's very, very impressive how he does it all. But what's even more impressive is prior to him following his passion and finding success on social media, he hit rock bottom. He was addicted to drugs. He spent time in jail. He was an alcoholic. Now, not only has he overcome these challenges in life, but he is motivating people every day by sharing his story and sharing life lessons he's learned on his journey to help make a difference in the lives of others. But before we get to the interview, I want to share a little bit about this month's Miller Scrap and Disposal Community Give Back Partner. The Impact Center is a local nonprofit youth center here in Winona that is free and open to all students K through 12. On their website, it says they follow a structured after-school schedule that includes time for homework, devotion, snack, and free time for children to do arts and crafts, play games, and much more. They also look for opportunities to take kids on field trips and participate in community service events. What a great organization. And during the month of September, Miller Scrap and Disposal will donate a portion of proceeds from every new customer who signs up for Miller Disposal's local trash service to the Impact Center. You can sign up today at millerscrap.com or call 507-452-2067. Miller Scrap and Disposal is proud to be your hometown hauler. Well, now it's time to get to the interview with Brandon Osborne from the Average Dad Cooking Channel. And folks, this is a good one. Well, we are super excited today to welcome Brandon Osborne from the Average Dad Cooking Channel to the Scrap Guy Solutions podcast. Brandon, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Brandon, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a father of three. I take that extremely seriously. So that is my day-to-day, is how to be the dad that I can be. I work full-time at RTP. I've been there just over 8 years. And then I do the Average Dad Cooking Channel on the side, try to balance all of things with the health journey. I like to train for marathons, half marathons, and extreme whatever I can do. I did Tough Mudder this year. I hiked the Grand Canyon. So just whatever I got going on, I just try to do it the best that I can do it. And yeah, really just trying to make this Average Dad Cooking Channel thing happen.
Awesome. Awesome. We're going to get into the Average Dad Cooking Channel, but first tell me and our listeners a little bit more about what you do at RTP Company.
Yep. So I'm an inventory control analyst. I started on the floor, just kind of running the machine and worked my way up through the tiers, from shipping and receiving to production, running machines, blending, everything that I could possibly do. Then went into the office under inventory control and just recently became the analyst. I do a lot of traveling when I can. I've been to almost every facility we have in America and have met people, do a lot of training. Because of the background that I have with RTP, I kind of just go whenever they kind of need something or somebody needs to be trained. I'm one of the guys that they send.
For those that don't know what RTP does, tell us a little bit about what RTP does here in Winona, not only in Winona, but across the country and really globally across the world.
Yeah, we're a global company. We make plastic pellets that people turn and mold into whatever they seem fit. I've seen everything from Frisbee golf discs to Polaris. Just kind of depends on the customer's need. They're a custom compounder, so just whatever a customer comes in that they need with plastic, we fulfill.
RTP is a really cool example of a local company that is deeply rooted here in Winona, but has a presence much larger than Winona, not only across the country, but globally. And we are so fortunate in this community to have so many of those homegrown companies that are so deeply rooted here in Winona, but yet have a presence that is, in this case, a global presence. You mentioned a little bit about health and fitness. Is that something that you've always done? Have you always been a runner? You're training for a marathon, or is this something relatively new for you?
It's relatively new. I have went through about a decade ago. I decided to pick up running and realized I really liked it. I would run around the town. I would run around the lakes. It got to a point where I could run like 10 plus miles, and then I just completely dropped it. About a year ago, it was a few years ago, I hit my heaviest weight of 253 pounds, and I was looking in the mirror, and I'm like, something here's got to give. So I went back to what I know I can do, and that's run. So when I started running again, you know, I'd make it a mile, and I was like, man, this is going to be tough. Like, I can't believe I've fallen off this hard. I just kept pushing through it into a point where I could run 10 plus miles. Last year, I did my first half marathon, did it sub 2, so about 8-minute, 30-second pace for the 13.2 miles. And then I just kept building off of that. I go to the gym called Fitness Mentality here in Winona. We go on a lot of trips. We went to the Colorado last year and hiked some mountains. And then this year, we went to the Grand Canyon and hike that from rim to rim is what it's called, which was just, that was crazy. It was 8 miles straight down, 8 miles across, and then 8 miles straight up. And up to the point of going up, I'm like, man, I got this completely under control. I was feeling good. We were kind of going at like a 16-minute pace for miles, so like a real nice fast walk with a big old backpack on. And we got to that mountain, and we're like, oh, we could almost probably run this. And we were humbled. We were extremely humbled. About 2 miles up, and it was a challenge for sure. When we pushed through that, I decided to try to sign up for my first marathon. When I got home, I had signed up. It was called Storm the Farm. It's here in Winona. It's up on the ridge, so it's a trail race. And when I got home, I got something with my neck, and all of a sudden I had this tension headache that lasted for a month. So I completely dropped my training. Doctors were told me don't do anything. They told me not to even walk, but I was doing a challenge called 75 hard at the time. So I was like, oh, I'm gonna still walk. So we got through that. In that month, I didn't really do much, but then Tough Mudder came. That's up in Minneapolis. It's all over, but we did ours in Minneapolis. It's a 10-mile race with, well, that's not really a race. It's more of like a buddy kind of together, try to accomplish, but there's obstacles in between. And there's some crazy obstacles in there. So you're running through the mud, you're running through water, you're swimming, you're got like a ninja warrior type deal, stuff to go through. I got through that and was feeling pretty good. So then I went to the Storm the Farm, and I was once again humbled when I started this. I was trying to do a marathon, but I had to call it quits after a half marathon because that one's no joke. So now I have my next half marathon coming up at the end of this month, and that's up in La Crosse. That's the Maple Leaf Race. It's the first one that I did last year, so we're going to try to do it again this year and see how it plays out.
I love it, man. I'm also a runner, and for the first time in my life, I started to get some knee pain this last winter when I was doing some running, and it really slowed me down to the point where I stopped running for a couple months. We were in session. I was up at the Capitol. And when I'm in session, I typically work out in the morning and run on the treadmill. And for whatever reason, my knee started to bother me and I stopped running. And then this spring, I got back into it again. And it's tough to get back into it.
So
you really
hard.
Have to be motivated. Do you have a tip for someone who wants to get more physically fit? They want to get healthier. And, you know, it's just been difficult for them to get started. What tip or tips do you have for someone to just go out there and get started?
Yeah, and it's almost exactly what you just said. The hardest part is starting, to get out there and start, but start small, start slow, and don't think you're going to walk out and run a half marathon. If you want to run, I would suggest running small, run a mile, see how you feel. The next day, next couple of days, whenever you stop being sore, run a little bit more. You know, there's no shame in walking. Walking is a great exercise. There's no shame in lifting small. If you want to start lifting, there's no shame in just starting out with very, very low weights. A lot of times when I start lifting again, I'll start with just the bar, and I will progressive overload and just kind of like, that way you're in the gym and you're out in 30 minutes. And it's not that much of a commitment. The more you keep doing it, the more your body is going to thank you, and you're going to want to keep doing these things. And all of a sudden you're finding yourself in the gym for an hour and a half because you want to be in the gym, not so much because you think you have to. So it's building these habits, building these routines, and starting. Starting is just the hardest part of anything, really.
I absolutely agree. I always say start small, like you just said, and people have a tendency, it's sort of human nature, if, hey, I'm training for a marathon or a half marathon or a 5K, and they want to go out in that first training day and they want to try to do the whole thing, or they want to try to do half of it. And that is probably going to set you back more than anything else. Start small. And another thing that I find really helpful is signing up for a race. So if you're not a regular runner or you run a little bit, maybe sign up for a local 5K and then put a plan in place, a training plan, and then chip away at that training plan each day, each week until you get to your race. And I always find it helpful to have a race or have something on my calendar that I'm working towards, that I'm training towards. And that's what motivates me more than anything else. How does it make you feel during the day after you're getting your workouts in and you're eating healthier and you're getting that physical activity in?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it makes me feel really good. The biggest thing about my success lately and what I try to do is I'm a firm believer. A lot of people will tell their children, you can do anything that you want to do. You can be this professional player. You could be, you know, president of the United States of America. But so many people do that, and they aren't trying to live their dreams. And what kids see is what you do. I mean, they hear what you say, but they see what you do. And if you're not out here showing them, then it's, you know, that's not in their mind. They're like, yeah, he said that, but he's also really unhappy at his job. Not saying I'm unhappy at my job, but just in general. Or, you know, they say this, but then, you know, they also talk about how they weren't able to do it. And so my biggest motivator and what makes me feel really good when I'm doing these things, when I'm at mile five of a half marathon and I'm like, man, I don't know if I could do this, and I try to bring my kids with all the time, is that they're waiting at the finish line and they're going to see their dad finish. And that's what makes me feel really good. The running in general kind of like will make you feel really good. You'll feel healthier. You'll be able to sleep better, and you'll start to see results, especially if you change up your diet. But in my mind, it really comes down to what my children see, and they see me be happier. They see me out here, and then I'm able to go to the park with them and play with them and run with them, and just, you know, their energy never ends, but I'm able to keep up for the most part.
Absolutely, man. Actions speak so much louder than words. We all know the people that can talk to the talk and they talk a big game, but it's really the people that do it. It's the people that put those words into action and lead by example. And I absolutely love it. Well, Brandon, let's get to it now. This is what everybody's been waiting to hear about. Tell us about the Average Dad Cooking Channel.
Yeah, so the Average Dad Cooking Channel, when I first started this, I talked about it for years. I would talk to people and I'm like, well, what do you think about this name? And they're like, yeah, I think that sounds really good. And I love to cook, and I think I'm pretty good at it. I started kind of cooking at a restaurant, and I really, really enjoyed doing that. I'd probably be a cook for life if the hours and money were there. It isn't feasible for to try to raise a family on, in my opinion. And there's different situations. We live in a small town. It makes it a little bit more difficult. But I was, you know, I'm thinking like, hey, and I've always kind of wanted to be on camera. I think I have the personality, the get up and go how to make this happen. And I also wanted to live my dream. And my dream is to make something, like to be a bigger name, to kind of figure this stuff out. So, you know, I would think about it and then I'd just kind of let it go off. And then I think about it some more. And, you know, they always say like a good idea is the one that just keeps coming back. So it just kept coming back into my mind, like, what are we going to do? So one day I set up the camera, I hit record, and I made my first ever YouTube video, and put it out there, and it did absolutely nothing. You know, no comments, 100 views, whatever. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, that's, you know, I was prepared for that, but that was, which was fun and fine. And then I started posting to Facebook. I made a Facebook because it was just YouTube for a while, but I started posting to Facebook, and I started to find some success on there this year. And Facebook messages you all the time. It's like, you got to post more. You got to post more. I'm like, well, I can't cook that much. I mean, I do, but I can't like sit there and record it. I have kids. I gotta think about this stuff. So I turned it into a lifestyle page. Well, when I did that, I was kind of worried about blowback. Like, they see the Average Dad Cooking Channel. What are they going to think if I start posting about my sobriety, my running, my life in general? And I've actually gotten a ton of great feedback. The channel is growing tremendously for me. I mean, we're a small blip in the world, but we're growing tremendously every day. And I have gotten so many people that message me and just tell me, like, hey, man, like, your words, like, you show me how to do this. Because of you, I decided to go on a walk today. Because of you, I decided to go on a run today. You know, hey, I tried some of your recipes. They seem really great. You know, I love your kids. They'd love to be on episodes. Every now and again, I'll throw them on there and show them how to cook. And yeah, it's just been a really fun experience overall. The people that I've met a lot of great people. And then I even had WXOW Channel News 19 come to my house and did an interview with me. And I thought that was really, really awesome. I've partnered with a couple of great brands right here, local, with Heart Country Meats and Bacon Salt, two local people that are trying to make, you know, big things happen for them as well. So that's been really awesome. Some really great people and that stuff.
It's a very similar story of how the whole Scrap Guy Solutions podcast started. So my dad, who for our listeners is actually sitting in the podcast studio right now with Brandon and I, and we'll let him ask a couple questions. And he's motioning no questions. He's good. He's just here to listen. But my dad started a podcast a couple years ago, and it really motivated me and inspired me to consider doing a podcast. So I did something very similar to what you did. I started the podcast, started doing some social media videos, and early on, very little or no action, right? Like a few views here and there. Maybe if you got a comment or two, awesome. If you got over 100 views, you're pumped up, you're excited. But it was when I started hearing from people like, hey, the podcast is really inspiring me to think about life differently. It's motivated me to work out and live a healthier lifestyle. It's motivated me to really look at trying to do more in life. It's motivated me to go out there and make things happen. And that's what the Scrap Guy Solutions podcast is all about. What do you all do on the Average Dad Cooking Channel? And what does it mean to be a content creator as you are with the Average Dad Cooking Channel and everything else that you're doing?
Yeah, so with the Average Dad Cooking Channel, I try to do the main focus to be on food. And my whole goal, you know, I've looked it up and people are like, well, you got to find trending recipes, you got to find keywords, you have to look into these things. Well, I don't want to do that. I want to show people, if you're an average dad like me, you work full time, you have three kids, you have a lot of responsibilities, that you can still cook. And you can still feed your family. You don't have to go out to eat every day. You don't have to bring people in to help you. Like, this is something that is manageable. So I try to, again, lead by example. And so I try to focus the main focus on cooking. I try to drop cooking videos. The majority of people that want to see cooking videos kind of want it fast. So I try to give you an entire recipe in less than 3 minutes. The shorter it can be, the better. See the finished product, see everything that I do with it, and show you that this is manageable. You can make above average food while being a dad. You just kind of have to have the know-how. So I want to show people that. And then I have like a small focus kind of on what I do on my day-to-day. So I try to post sobriety milestones. I try to post my milestones on my fitness goals. If I go to do the Grand Canyon, I try to do a lot of pictures of that and just show people that it's, you know, coming out here and living your life, you can fulfill these things. You don't need to come home every day and just sit on the couch and live in, I don't know, misery like I was for a very long time, you can get out here and you can do these things. Even with being a full-time worker, with being extremely busy, these things are possible. So I try to show a lot of that on the Average Dad Cooking channel. But the main focus, again, is just kind of on food and what I like to make. Now that I have Heart Country Meats sponsoring me, they come and drop me off care packages each week. So I just, you know, whatever they drop me off, I just try to make a recipe out of it and do different things with it, bring different flavors. I have a lot of Louisiana love coming to me, so I have a ton of Louisiana flavoring, seasonings, things like that. So I try to bring that and show that here in the Midwest, you know, give it a different little take. Like if you're in Minnesota, you probably never heard of boudin. Well, that's one of their favorite dishes, so I made that, you know, a gumbo, a legitimate gumbo. I went ahead and made that to show these people a different style of food. I think that going out and seeing the entirety of America and what they make gives you a different idea of how to do things, which then led me to my Average Dad Eats America, which I've kind of slowed down on a little bit. And that was just because I didn't have the smoker that I needed. I actually have a new one arriving today. And what I plan to do is go state by state, find out whatever dish that they want me to make for, like, represent them and kind of like highlight their state. The very first one that was voted on was Texas. So I'm going to make a brisket and we're going to make some jalapeno poppers. So for some, Texas Twinkies. And so that's kind of what's up first. Show people, hey, this is Texas. This is what they voted on. Here's how I do it. You know, you could try this at home.
Oh, that is super cool. I can't wait to see that. Tell us a little bit more about your partnerships with Heart Country Meats and Bacon Salt. You've mentioned them a couple times here, but tell us a little bit more about how those partnerships started and what those partnerships mean to you.
Yeah, so very early on in the channel, a few hundred subscribers or followers on Facebook, I was at Hy-Vee here and I saw this company called Bacon Salt, and I'm like, yeah, that seems kind of interesting. So I grabbed one of their bottles and I showcased it in a video, and I found them online and I tagged them. I'm very much about putting yourself out there and looking for opportunities, messaging people and just being like, hey, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing. Well, it turned out he's a local guy here, and I'm like, oh, this is pretty awesome. So eventually, right away, he messages me. He's like, listen, man, I'll just drop you off a care package. So he comes in, he gives me everything that they have to offer. And I thought that was really awesome. I've been cooking with their stuff for well over a year now, putting them out there, trying to help their company grow, help me grow. They share everything that I do. He's got a bigger platform on Facebook, so he shares everything that I do, which has been really great. And now recently, we just got a discount code with him. So if you use Average Dad, you save some money on an order. So that was, you know, pretty cool. We're working on, you know, perhaps like a cookbook. So you have a cookbook by me, but it has Bacon Salt inspired recipes. And, you know, me and him are always working together to figure out different ways we can do things. And then Hidden Century Farms is who does the Heart Country Meats. They are in Heart, so right here, pretty close here, just, you know, right down the interstate there. They reached out to me. It's the first person that's ever reached out to me. And they're like, hey, we love what you're doing. Like, let's sit down and talk about maybe like a partnership. And I was like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. So we met here locally at Heirloom Seasonal Bistro, which also, I believe, uses some of their meat. Had a little sit-down lunch, and I got to talk to the two owners of it and met them. They're really, really great people, and they were like, yeah, we'll just give you some food, just kind of throw us out there and we'll see how this relationship plays out. And they do kind of the same thing, that they share my stuff, and they're very, very supportive people. It's meant a ton. You know, this is the first couple people that have actually believed in kind of what we were doing here, like first couple brands that kind of believed in what we were doing here and trying to make the Average Dad Cooking Channel happen. And I believe they kind of came in just over like 1,000 followers too. So it's in the grand scheme of things, it's a extremely small channel, but they've seen it and they're like, we love what you do. We love your recipes. Like, you know, can we help in any way? So it was really helped me see, like, hey, I'm really making a difference here. Like, people are watching, and it gives you that motivation to just kind of keep going and keep doing this, because not every day is easy to get up and be like, all right, what film am I going to make? And especially when a video, you make it, you put all this time into it, even now, and like nothing happens with it. You're like, man, all right, well, you know, right on to the next one. So to have these couple brands reach out really, really pushed me to start kind of reaching out to even more and more people. And yeah, it's been absolutely fantastic.
Well, if you want to send me that discount code, I'll include it in the show summary for this podcast so anyone who's listening can have access to that discount code. And we're going to circle back. You just said something about what motivates you, and some days you wake up in the morning or maybe you're having a challenging day and you don't quite have that motivation to go out and do what needs to be done. But before we circle back to that, I want to touch on something that I've been most impressed about and that I've really enjoyed with your channel. So you reached out to me probably about a month ago or so asking about the podcast. And since then, I started following your channel, following your content. And one of the things that I thought was really, really awesome is your channel, your content isn't just about cooking. It's a lot about cooking and it's really, really good content about cooking. But there's so much more to it, and there's so much more to your life story. And you've touched a little bit about the sobriety, but tell us about some challenges that you had in your life prior to the success that you've had with the Average Dad Cooking Channel.
Yeah, my life has been an extremely interesting one. I didn't have the best childhood. We moved a lot. Parents kind of left me at an early age. I was raised by not even like direct relatives, which, you know, God bless them for doing that. But I was a very angry child, did things that weren't the smartest. I did end up in jail for a little while. But when something clicked in my head, I was probably about 20 years old. And I said, man, something's got to change here. I mean, I was headed towards rock bottom. I was at rock bottom. I was addicted to drugs. I was doing things that I shouldn't be doing. And I woke up one morning in jail and I said, hey, I can't keep doing this. I got to figure something out. So I got out of there and I stopped messing around. I came out on very high supervision and had some probation officers I had to work with. And I decided, hey, man, something's got to change here. So I was in school at the time. We were at the Southeast Tech. I started doing that, grabbed a job and was still kind of like, you know, putzing around. I mean, I was probably 21 years old, so still pretty young. But I decided to kind of take things a different route. Like, how do I start setting myself up for success? Even then, though, I still had challenges. I completely dropped all of the bad drugs, the hard ones and stuff like that. And I found alcohol. And I'm like, well, you know, this is, everybody drinks. Like, this is no big deal. And, you know, my whole life, it really hasn't been a big deal. And about probably 10 years ago, it became a big deal. I started drinking, and it was, you know, this day in and day out thing where I was always a high functioning alcoholic. Like, I would drink and then wake up in the morning and I'd go to work, you know, and I wouldn't miss work. I would come home and then I would just start drinking again. And then I had my first kid and was still drinking pretty heavily. I'm actually only about like 150 days sober now. So I've had all three kids while doing this. I would have spurts of just kind of like stopping and then kind of getting back on it and then stopping and then kind of getting back on it all the way up until about a year ago when I had quit for 3 months and I was like, all right, you know, this is the longest I've gone in a really long time. So I'm still up and down, just trying to figure life out. I gained a lot of weight during the drinking. Like I said in the beginning, I was 253 pounds, looking in the mirror, waking up, just feeling like a nightmare. And people are like, oh, you know, they talk to me like, oh, you're such a great dad, you do these things. And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm still there for my kids, but I, you know, I'm going to try to get out of anything just because I wake up and I'm hungover and I wake up and, you know, even when I'm not hungover, when I get home from work, all I want to do is go drink. So I don't want to go to this football game. I don't want to watch them do these things. And now that my first son was getting into school and started having these events, and I'd still go to them, but I'd just be miserable in these stands. And I said, hey, man, something's got to, now we got to really stop this. Yeah, we stopped getting into trouble. No more running with the law for many, many years. I actually have everything completely expunged now. But, you know, now we're still drinking, which is legal, but, like, you know, I'm like, something's got to switch here. So I quit for 3 months. We hiked some mountains. I came home. I did that half marathon. When I got done with the half marathon, maybe I could try again. You know, I was like, let's see what happens. So I grabbed some beers, and I started drinking that, and I just right back into the abyss. Off I went. And about 150 days ago, I want to say it was like early April, I started the 75 Hard Challenge. And had about a week before I started the 75 Hard Challenge, I got like super blasted. Woke up the next morning and I'm like, this has got to stop. So I just completely quit cold turkey and did that and did the 75 hard challenge, got done with that. And then I just haven't done it since. So it's just been this up and down struggle my entire life of battling the wants of the flesh versus what actually needs to be done in my mind to be, like I said, I preach to a lot of people, don't tell them, show them. Well, while I'm sitting here like, hey, you know, this stuff is bad, I'm also getting drunk every night. So that was another big thing, was like, I gotta be an example. The people who raised me, the man was a raging alcoholic. And so it's just always kind of been there. My blood relatives, my family, or my mom and dad are both, one was like an alcoholic. The other one is completely wrapped up into drugs, even still to this day. And so it's just always kind of been there. And that's like where this mindset comes for me. Cause like, yeah, everybody told me I shouldn't do these things, but this is what I'm seeing on a day-to-day basis. Like, this is life. This is normality to me. So it was just always this up and down struggle of wanting to be better and just continuing to give in to the wants and the needs of my body and my thoughts.
Well, congratulations on your 150 days of sobriety, and congratulations on all that you've overcome. It's very, very inspiring to me, and I'm sure our listeners out there. So You battled drug addiction, you battled alcoholism, you spent some time in jail. As you said, you hit rock bottom. What are some tips or what advice can you share to those who may be currently facing challenging times or difficulty in their lives?
Yeah, this is something I've been very passionate about. I actually want to write a book one day. It's kind of difficult right now, but because I want to help people. But the biggest thing that you can do is, and it's almost cliche, but it's in reality, it's just true, is to take things day by day and try to take and win each day. And sometimes that comes to each hour. Like even now when I'm out and I'm at a company picnic or something and everybody's drinking and having a good time, it's difficult to kind of remain in that sobriety and remain like, why am I even doing this? I could just walk over there and have a beer. Like, what's the big deal? But you need to take it hour by hour, minute by minute, whatever it may be, and realize that in the long run, you're going to be a better, happier, healthier person. You're going to be a better example. There is so much more to life than living in the abyss and living these nightmares of some people are. For me personally, it was just a nightmarish land of just every day waking up and feeling miserable. And I know so many people can relate with that. I still know people to this day that are messaging me like, man, you're so strong. Like you had nothing and now look at you now. And I tell them like, you know, it's not too late for you. And they're like, no, it is. And they're my age. And I'm like, no, it's not. Like you need to start. Again, right back to our beginning conversation. The biggest thing, the hardest thing is starting. And then it's just taking it day by day. And it's going to be scary at first. It's going to be, you're not going to be used to this. You're not going to want to do it in your mind. But every day that goes by, it's going to become a little bit easier and a little bit easier. And you're going to start to see success come your way. You're going to be more motivated to find ways to make things happen. For me, for example, with the Average Dad Cooking Channel, when I started up sobriety, I really dived into this, and now I'm sitting across from you having a podcast. I mean, it's just, in order to live the life that you want to live, you have to do sometimes the things you don't want to do, and you have to break cycles. What I think about a lot is generational trauma is kind of this new thing that people talk about. And in order to break those things, you have to be the chain breaker. That is what's in my mind all of the time. If my kids don't see this person that I used to be, they likely won't become the people that I don't want them to become. And that's been my biggest motivator. But yeah, I mean, just start today, start now, start one day at a time. And reach out. You know, there is so much help out there. Just here in town, there's plenty of groups out there, whether you want AA, NA, or just somebody to talk to. There's an ear. I'm always available to listen. You can message the Average Dad Cooking Channel. I will happily talk to you, listen to your story. But yeah, start.
One of the things that I learned growing up from my parents is if you want something, you have to work for it. You have to earn it. And if you don't, I've especially learned this in my professional and my political career. If you don't work for it, if you don't try to earn it, someone else will, and someone else will get it done. So you really got to go out there and you have to get after it. And you also have to realize, and this is a part about being honest with yourself and being honest with others, that no one else is going to do it for you.
Yeah.
There's plenty of help out there. There's folks that will help you along the way and you can get assistance, but if you want to do something, you have to get out there and do it. There aren't too many trips down Easy Street.
That's right.
Easy Street doesn't happen very often. So if you want it, you got to work for it. You got to set your goals. You got to set your mind to it. And you have to work really hard to accomplish those goals. And then ultimately, just about anything you set your mind to is possible.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to want to do it. No one's going to do it for you, but if you want something, you set your mind to it, and just about anything is possible. Anything you set your mind to, you can accomplish. Yeah. If you put in the time and the effort and the work to get it done. Brandon, how do you balance it all? So you have a full-time career at RTP company. You have three kids at home, two boys and a girl. You're doing the Average Dad Cooking Channel, not to mention creating the content and cooking the food that goes along with that channel. How do you do it all? How do you balance it all?
Yeah, so a lot of times what I'll do, especially if I'm like, let's say we'll start with like health and fitness. What I do is I do that when people are sleeping. So I'm a very early riser. I'll get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I'll get after it. Or I will wait till everybody goes to bed and then I'll get after it. So I'm working out a lot of times in the night, or I'll take my lunches at work and I'll do that. I stay very busy. I don't watch much TV. I don't get to watch too many movies. The TV is just so very rarely on. And when it is on, it's something the kids want to watch. So that's been the biggest thing, is taking these other habits that I don't like, you know, I don't judge people for doing, but you know, I used to be a big video gamer and I still love video games, but I don't really play those anymore. I get to work, and when I done, if I work out in the morning, you know, I got that out of the way. I get to work, you know, get this out of the way, get home, get the kids home, get supper made. And a lot of times what I do is I just film supper. And what's nice about kind of the more and more I do this, like when I first started this, I would be like, all right, got to clean the entire house. Like, everybody get out of the house. Like, you know, you can't be yelling and screaming. And then I kind of like got more into like, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, I can't just kick everybody to the house three times a week so that I can film. Like, I got to figure out different ways to do this. So I grabbed my phone and I learned a voiceover. You film, I try to take close cuts of things, or I try to keep stuff like right on my face unless the kids want to be in it. And so I'm filming dinner. While I'm filming dinner, I can just kind of take quick scenes, show what's on here, and then I come back afterwards and I edit it. So I take out all of the sound, because if I left that in there, it'd be some very interesting episodes. I'd have to warm the headphone users, like, and this is when they fight, you know? So I take the sound out and I put a voiceover over it. And that's when everybody's sleeping again. I go out into my living room and I just talk over the mic and what I'm doing over here. So I incorporate that. And then a lot of times in my mind with the content creation is, what is my day to day and how can I include this into content creation instead of the other way where it's like, I have to do content creation. Like, how am I going to try to balance the kids and balance this? Just recently, there's this viral video of you make this mashed potato mountain and you make little chicken nuggets, little dinosaur shaped ones, and you have broccoli and you put them on there. So you have this like prehistoric dish and you take gravy and you pour it over it. Well, in my mind, I'm like, well, why don't I just have my kids help me? Like, cause this includes them. It has them spending time with me, learning a new skill. And in my opinion, people love it. Like, you love to see these kids learning something and actually being out here and doing this instead of in this generation, especially, there's just so much technology. Like with me growing up, like it was just kind of becoming a thing. So we were just like, oh yeah, cool. Like a computer anyway, like let's go play ball. Well, so, you know, you hear it all the time with like the iPad generation and things like that. So we try to stay away from that. And so when I'm including them into this stuff, you know, they're learning a new skill, and then especially with where we're going with society, with YouTube, this can be a legitimate career for a lot of people. I'm showing them, you know, giving them camera presence, giving them a new skill to be like, hey, like I don't really have a problem. I can be a public speaker. I can be used to like having this camera in my face and having people see me out in this big entire world. It was really cool. My son just graduated kindergarten, which is so much fun. They go to Cotter here locally. And the teacher herself was like, they showed me a clip or showed me a picture. They were watching our clips like in class on our, cause we were on TikTok too. And so they would sit back and, you know, we got like quick ones on there so that the kids are sitting around and they're doing whatever they're doing. And they all of a sudden they're watching the clip of us. And my son comes home and he's like, Dad, we got to film another episode. And so it's putting them into it. Recently I have this hat sitting in front of me, again, made locally here. So I went and picked up a cutting board last night. I'm doing a giveaway. When I hit 5,000 followers, I'm doing a giveaway of my cutting board. And then Bacon Salt's giving us a full sleeve of what they have going on. But they're like, man, we really want a hat. So I had my buddy make me up a couple hats. And my kids are 6, 3, and 1. So I got one for the 6-year-old and one for the 3-year-old. And the 3-year-old's my daughter. And she's so funny because she'll take it and put it on and be like, Average Dad Cooking Channel. Now she's got her own hat. So it's, to me, to balance it all is incorporating it into life instead of trying to be like, this has to be done. How can I make this happen while still having fun?
As we've said a couple times during this episode, anything is possible if you set your mind to it, but you also have to put in the work and the effort and the time to get it done, and nothing's easy. So you are putting in a lot of time, a lot of effort, but the other cool thing is you're involving your family. You're multitasking, but you're doing a lot of things when the kids are sleeping and you're waking up early in the morning to work out. You're up late at night editing your content. So you're definitely putting in the time and effort, and it is showing because you're what, getting close to 5,000 followers?
Well,
is that right?
We just broke 3,000, and then I put this milestone of 5,000 and to kind of just boost it. So I just dropped this video yesterday of the giveaway to try to help boost the channel just a little bit more, and that'll hopefully bring us up to that 5,000 mark. The thing about the social media and trying to be, like you said, and like I said earlier in the show, your first couple of videos aren't going to do good. It's just so rare without already kind of like, you know, being in this public spotlight to just be able to come out of nowhere and have traction and feedback and everything like that. So yeah, we're trying to push this more into it, and that video is doing really well. But yeah, that's the next milestone, is the 5K mark.
It only takes one to go viral though, baby. It only takes one. You just got to get that right one. You got to create that right one. So you're doing all kinds of cool things. What's next for the Average Dad Cooking Channel, or just the Average Dad in general?
Yeah. So, again, I've always kind of wanted to be on TV. So I try to do a lot of things locally. You probably heard me say local a lot. Cause I think that's really cool. Winona is a small town, but there is a ton of talent. There's a ton of small businesses that could really use the love. So what I try to do is, I had a girl here that's just kind of getting into photography and videography and stuff like that. I had her do some headshots for me, and then I took those and I submitted them to More Creative Talent. So it's a talent agency, and I'm going to attempt to try to get an agent. I don't know what I would do with that. I hopefully like start out with a commercial or something like that. But the dream has always been to, like, honestly, to be in movies, to be in a TV show, something like that. And so I started trying to do that. I don't know where that's going to lead, but that was the kind of the next step. I love building the Average Dad Cooking Channel. I think this is really fun. So I keep doing that. I actually do have two big partnerships that I'm supposed to kind of keep hush hush about. I can say the partnership thing, but they are they're not local. They're bigger brands. So I'm making kind of some videos for them that will be releasing here pretty soon. So that's been really fun. The biggest thing that I kind of do is I reach out to just everybody. I shoot my shot everywhere. I remembered your podcast. I'm like, I'm going to message him. I want to see, you know, what happens and throw it out there. But I do that.
And here we are, yeah. Right? You just got to ask, right. Folks.
So I shoot my shot everywhere. So I've been kind of trying to do that, whether it's with bigger brands, whether it's with bigger creators, whether it's with local creators, but I just to kind of just keep the ball rolling. So what I'm excited about, just building the channel, potentially becoming into a commercial, depending on if people like it, but just to keep chasing, keep building my dream. And yeah, that's a lot of what's next is just more videos coming, more cooking videos coming, more milestones of my sobriety. And because another big thing about like my milestone sobriety, I always post on there and I say, hey, like, I'm not trying to brag because I really am not, but it helps keep me accountable. I mean, I have a ton of people that are like, oh, like, I know you're sober. I know you do this. And in my mind, just the way that my brain works, because you do have to do that stuff for yourself, but it just helps so much to be like, when I go to a bar and people are like, oh, no, he's sober. Like, that's fine. Like, so they're not trying to shove beer in your face and things like that. So it's helping me. People don't realize, but they say I help them. But when they say stuff like that, you're helping me. You're helping me do that. So I just want to keep building, being the best dad that I can be, and keep building this, what I like to call an empire.
So tell us about how people can get in touch with you, how they can follow your channel. You have an awesome hat sitting here in front of me. I know you did some t-shirts as well. How do people follow your channel and buy your hats and your merch, your t-shirts, all that good stuff?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Facebook is my largest following by far. We just broke 3,000, but I am on every platform, Instagram, Threads, Lemonade, TikTok, YouTube. Facebook is going to be where you're going to get the majority of my posts. The rest of those, I just kind of keep to cooking. When you kind of take a niche and then break off of it on most platforms, it doesn't do very well. For some reason, Facebook loved it. So this is the whole thing has become the niche. So if you want to follow me on Facebook, that's where you're going to get the majority of the posts. If you just want to see my cooking, I highly suggest YouTube. That's where I keep it very cooking related, very, you know, every now and again, I'll drop a different clip, but it's so rare. So everything is in there. It's got my recipes and different stuff like that. You can even see some of my first videos, which people say this all the time, but your first videos are going to be your worst. And when I go back and watch, I'm like, oh man, like, I'm glad we're at now. As for merch, it's all done locally here at Island City Designs. It's a little shop there in Goodview, right by Anna Cabby's, right across the street from the Goodview Bar. So you can literally just walk into his shop when he's open, and he has all of that stuff available. But I also have, he's stepped me up a storefront, so I can link you that. We can throw it on here too, along with the bacon salt. What's cool about that is I have the hat, I have a shirt, I have a cutting board. The cutting board's my favorite. You'll see it in pretty much all of my videos. I love that thing. Cutting boards, a lot of times when you get these custom cutting boards, it's just like unrealistic. Like, I have a Minnesota shaped one, but I'm like, I can't cut on this. Like, it's not like there's nothing I can do with this. So the cutting board is absolutely phenomenal. And we actually even have a tumbler on there. And we're working on stuff all the time, but you can go on there. There's actually, the next four people to order can get a discount code as well of Average Dad to get a little bit of discount on their order. So yeah, we're on all platforms. I suggest Facebook, but otherwise you can go to any of them. And then, yeah, we'll link the Island City Design and the bacon salt.
We will put all the links in the show summary notes or whatever you call these things on the podcast, but we'll make sure that all those links are in there. And we'll end with this, Brandon. What advice can you give someone who is chasing a dream or maybe wants to start a new journey, but they think that it might be just too big of a bite, too big of a hurdle to overcome? What advice can you share with somebody?
Yeah, and it's funny you say that, because that was what stopped me for so long of doing this, was like, man, do I really have the time for this? And we just had my first son when I first started kind of thinking about this, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Then we had another kid, and I'm like, you know, I got this career and I'm traveling, I'm doing these things. And as much as I love RTP, I've always just wanted to be kind of out in the public eye. So listen, if you have a dream, the biggest thing, it's just like weightlifting. It's just like running. It's starting is the hardest part, and start small. you know, you don't expect to come out here and be the next Brad Pitt, the next Gordon Ramsay just overnight. It's likely just not going to happen. Come in with realistic expectations and start. If you want to be a content creator, you hear this all the time, just hit record. Like, just start recording and see what happens. Put yourself on camera and get comfortable with it. I had a lot of people telling me, like, oh, you should record, like, maybe 5-6 before you did that. I didn't. I recorded the first one, put it out there, because, like, that's the kind of person I am. I jump in headfirst to everything, and I make it all about, like, what do I need to do here? How do I accomplish this? How do I become the best? And it's funny that I say that, because my next kind of point is, like, you don't have to be the best. You just have to outwork the next person next to you. You know, there is so many people out here that want to be content creators or do whatever your dream is. There's likely a lot of people that out there that are also trying to chase that dream. You don't have to be best. You don't even have to be better than them. You just have to do more work than them. You have to be out here. You have to stay consistent is always the biggest thing, whether you're trying to do health, whether you're just want to be a better dad, a better mom. Consistency is key. And then building this into your life is you need to figure out how you can balance all things. You can't just get rid of all of your responsibilities. You need to balance it. For me, I don't sleep a lot, but, you know, like, I don't suggest that for everybody. I've always been able to, like, run on 4 or 5 hours of sleep, and that's fine for me. You know, maybe that's not fine for everybody. So find out what is fine for you and start. Start small and, you know, stop putting it off. That's another big thing, is just stop putting it off and start today.
Well, my slogan for the Scrap Guy Solutions podcast is make today your day. Figure out what you want, then get started, stick with it, and go make it happen. And folks, Brandon Osborne from the Average Dad Cooking Channel is definitely making things happen. Brandon, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, Jeremy, thanks for having me on.
All I can say is, what an interview. Is Brandon impressive or what? He has overcome so many obstacles that life has thrown at him. He bounced back from being addicted to drugs. He bounced back from spending time in jail. He bounced back from being an alcoholic. He bounced back from hitting rock bottom. And now he's over 150 days sober. He's very active in the lives of his 3 kids. He's living a healthy lifestyle, and his Average Dad Cooking Channel is blowing up and getting more and more subscribers by the day. And he even has some sponsors. How cool is that? Brandon Osborne is a regular guy who is doing what it takes to make things happen, and he's inspiring others to do the same. His next goal is 5,000 followers on his Average Dad Cooking Channel Facebook page, so let's help him get there. Please consider giving him a follow. I'll try to link his page in the show notes. Otherwise, just search Average Dad Cooking Channel and you will find him. Brandon also passed along a discount code for Bacon Salt and a link to purchase his merch. And if you haven't already seen his hats and his t-shirts and his cutting boards and the other merchandise, you gotta give it a look, because it's pretty darn cool. We will list these links in the show notes along with his Linktree link. Well, this concludes this episode of the Scrap Guy Solutions podcast. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast and consider giving us a 5-star review, a like, a thumbs up, and please share with others. There are tons and tons and tons of podcast options out there, and we truly appreciate you taking the time to listen to this one. And of course, make today your day. Figure out what you want, then get started, stick with it, and go make it happen. Peace out.
4, 3, 2, 1, watch out, here I come. This is my time. I'm on the ride.